Okay. So, we're going to continue discussing that particular services, providing services, but with mistaken contracts. Now, hey, you've got the... So, everyone had homework to do from last week. Let's remind everyone of the case. So, Reuven was in a rush. He was in his car. And he was... needed to go shopping, and he parked his car very quickly. He was about to run out into the shop, and he saw, luckily for him, or he thought, luckily for him, he saw a traffic cop. Yeah? And he quickly took money out of his pocket and he put the money into the meter. Okay. So he went into the shop. After being there for a number of minutes, he came out and he walked towards his car and he saw, unfortunately, he had got a ticket. What happened? He paid money into the meter. So, he checked up and he realized that he made a mistake. He had put the money into the meter of the car, the parking space next to him instead. And in fact, he had saved the neighbor from getting the ticket, and he received the ticket instead. So, he decided, you know what, I saved him from 250 shekel fine. A waiter comes out, we'll make some sort of agreement. He would have got the fine. I've saved him, we'll make some sort of agreement. So, the uncle came out, and he told him, look, you had no money in your parking space, there was a traffic cop around, and I saved you money. So he said, thank you very much. And I really appreciate what you did, and I hope you have a lovely day. Reuven was, to say the least, flabbergasted at the response. He was hoping for some compensation for what he had achieved for his neighbor. But instead, he just got a thank you, and he didn't even get the money back for the money which he put inside the meter. So, he decided that this is not on, and he was going to take him to Beis Din. So, even though his whole tzvir was less than the whole Beis Din costs, but he felt, out of principles, that it's not a correct thing that the uncle had done. Yeah, principles and covers usually intertwine, it's the same word. Now, so everyone's had a whole week to think about this. What do you think? Do you think, we've got a few options over here. Does he get his money, 250 shekels back? Does he get the money back for at least the meter? Or should they split some of the money?
I think he gets the money.
How does he know for sure that the cop was going to give this other guy a ticket? I mean, he's assuming that he would, but does he know 100% for sure that he was at that time he was going to get, you know, he'd make an assumption there, is he not?
It's not guaranteed. How unlikely he would miss the car if he's already given out tickets. His earnest depends on it. The more tickets he makes, the better off he is.
No, when you put the money into it, I don't know how meters work here, but I know, in the U.S.
They generally don't.
In the U.S., you'll see, maybe there's a minute left, 2 minutes left, so maybe when the car was there was still a minute left on the guy's parking meter. So he goes, okay, there's still a minute left, I can't give him a ticket right now. He passes that parking ticket.
You have no sense.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So his original intent was not to perform the service.
Okay. But at the end of the day, he provided a service.
But can you compare it? So you can compare it to the case where somebody infused the property for himself, and it turned out that he was improving it for someone else.
No, but he improved it for himself.
But he thought he was improving.
Then, now that's a different case.
The person has to move out after a year.
Did he get any benefit out of what he put in?
Let's assume he has to move out after a year.
So, but
he got no benefit.
That wasn't the case. That was the case.
He got no benefit.
Then it may be similar. Last week we discussed the case where he provided the service for himself, which he only intended for himself, and ended up benefiting his friend. Here, he provided a service
for himself,
thinking for himself. He got no benefit out of what he did for himself, and ended up only benefiting his friend.
So, if somebody
so it's different.
Plants trees, and what he gives is his field,
yes.
And it turns out to be somebody else's field.
Yes. Maybe. But it seems to be, from what you said at the beginning, that everyone seems to agree that if he for sure saved him from the police cop, then there should be some compensation. If he didn't for sure save him from the police cop, then there should be no compensation. That's what I heard over here.
I think he has to reimburse him for the full amount of the meter, but nothing for the ticket. There's three reasons why you have to give him for the meter.
Okay, say for the reason.
One is because it's similar to the case of jail. He had to get out. He was going to get a fine. There's no question he was going to get a fine. There's a meter made around there, and he's giving out tickets. He's not going to miss the car. He's highly trained to do that, and he gets punished if he is, you know. So it's like the case of jail where he had no choice. He had to spend it. Secondly, it could be he had to, since it happened in Eretz Yisrael, it would be a question of do you say Dina de Malchus Adina here? If Dina de Malchus Adina, then he had to put the money in the meter anyway. So he wasn't going to be out of pocket. Even if you don't say Dina de Malchus Adina, perhaps it's Gazela to park at a meter without putting money into it. So even off that, he had
okay.
to put. As far as the ticket is concerned, I'm sorry you got a ticket, but that was not an expense of saving my meter. All you had to spend was 5 shekel, not 250
okay.
shekel.
Okay, you had some good reasons there. Very good reasons.
You said last week that when he came out, he said, I always take a chance, I never put money in the meter, ever.
Yes.
So, I mean, do those facts matter? Meaning, let's say he himself saw the meter guy by his meter.
Yeah.
So if he would have gone out and pay the meter,
yeah.
So then that's a factor.
Yeah.
That's a factor. If it's true that he really never paid the meter and really wouldn't have cared, so then I would say...
No, I mean, when he says he never puts money in the meter, he does care. He just always takes the chance.
Okay, but
if he would see actually a police cop coming down the street, he would definitely run out and try and save himself.
Yeah.
Let's say, for example, a hurricane is being forecast.
Yes.
And you put sandbags around your neighbor's house to protect it.
Mm-hmm.
No one knows whether the water would have actually damaged his property.
Yes.
But you did the work.
Yeah.
So the fact that he got a ticket or didn't get a ticket, I think, is irrelevant.
He did the work. Mm-hmm. We're going to look at two factors here. So let's look at number one. So the Shulchan Aruch brings in Siman Kuf Chaf Ches, it's based on the Gemara Baba Kama. Somebody who pays somebody's debts without the person's knowledge. And even if the debt was a very solid debt, it was actually written in a document form that this guy owed money and you went and paid for it. And even if not only it was a document, he even gave a guarantor for the debt. And you went and paid his debt. But not the Zer Shapora. Ein halova chayv l'shalim lo. The person who paid the debt doesn't get his money back. The borrower who's now been let off the debt doesn't have to pay. And not only that, v'notu mashkunu v'chidam, he can even take his guarantee, which he gave to the lender, back. V'harei ovid zeh hanosin mo'osof. And the one who paid his debt for him has now lost his money. V'afilu im hoya malva duchuchu lifro. And even if the one who lent the money was pushing him to be paid, give me my money, and you went and paid his debts, he's still potter. Why? Perhaps the lender may have gone to the borrower, may have gone to the lender and talked to him and managed to let him off the debt. And that's not only the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, it's also the opinion of the Ramah, that if you go and pay somebody else's debt, then he does not have to compensate you for that. Why? Because he says to you, maybe I would never had to pay that debt, maybe I would have got myself off, so therefore I don't owe you any money. Now we see from here, you pay somebody's debts, you don't owe money. Let's define the situation in our case. This person has parked a car. He had not put money in the meter. Did he owe money? Did he owe money? Yes. He's a guzzler. He's a gunner. If you park in a parking space, then you can only park here, says the rules, if you pay for it. You didn't pay for it. You have to pay us money if you're going to pay, if you want to use it. So he owed money to the area for parking that space. You went, what happened? Reuben went and paid that debt to the area. He went and paid his debt. So it's like our case, where Reuben goes and pays Shimon's debt, and Shimon can turn around and say to him, thank you very much.
But there's no chance of Mechila.
Maybe I would never
convince the area to give you Mechila.
Mechila, not. But maybe I would never had to pay the debt. Yeah, he wanted to pay his own, but he paid the others. Yes? What's got to do with me? At the end of the day, you paid my debt. You paid Yankel's debt for parking there. Fine, thank you very much. Fine, that you made a mistake. Why? Well, to me, all I look at is that you paid my debt. Thank you. What's the deal with paying my debt? I don't need to compensate you. Fine, so. So, what's the reasoning behind why? No, what's the reason why I don't have to pay you? Because there might be Mechila. Now.
But there's two differences.
Yes.
Between this and the meter.
Okay.
A, the question here is if there's a debt altogether. I may not end up having to pay it.
There's definitely a debt in our case, yes?
Well, it could be Igloi Milos Lamafreya that it's not. Oh, in the meter case.
In meter case.
Yes,
yes.
There is a debt.
Yes.
But it's even more so than a debt. I'm also being matzil him from an Aveira of Gizela. There's no Aveira going on.
Okay. What money do you get from saving somebody's life? Aveira?
For what?
What compensation do you get from saving somebody's, from doing an Aveira? Do you ever get monetary compensation for that?
No, I matzil him by preventing him from doing what he had to do. So I would always be entitled to get recompense for the expense.
Of what? Why?
To go to, because he was mechuyev to do it.
He was mechuyev to do it. He was mechuyev to pay his debt, yes. And you went ahead.
No, he wasn't mechuyev to pay his debt.
Yes, he borrowed money. He's mechuyev to
well
pay.
Davka. He maybe ended up getting mechila.
Maybe he owed mechila. Now over here, he definitely owes money, but maybe he doesn't have to pay. Is it the same?
On the meter, he had to pay. There's no mechila.
Maybe he wouldn't have. He had to pay, but maybe he wouldn't pay. Is that a difference?
That's the difference.
In our case,
you still have a debt.
Of the Shulchan Aruch, he owes money, but maybe legally he can get out of the debt, and therefore then he doesn't have to be compensated for you paying up my debt. In the case of the meter, he definitely owes money. And he can never get out legally for not paying. But maybe he won't he'll get away with it. Maybe he'll get away with it. Is it the same as the Gemara or not? You're liable. He may get away from being a gun. Is that the same as maybe I'll get legally let off? So everyone's saying there's a difference and it should be.
In the shocker of case,
yes.
If you're going to the lender, say I'm paying this specific debt, I want to pay it.
I'm paying it for
Reuben's debt. In this case, you're saying to the parking meter, I'm paying my debt, and by accident, for some reason you pay someone else's debt. But when it
okay, you didn't want to. Fine. So who you got a claim against? Who you got claim against? The area? It's not against him. Not against your uncle who parked his car, and you've taken the wrong person to the basin. Yeah? You should have taken the area. I, by mistake, gave the area money. That's not against the uncle, the car. Okay, so let's look at Tosis. Number two. The Nireli. The Mavriach Ari. This concept that we saw in Shulchan Aruch is called Mavriach Ari, chasing a lion. She'ena notuska, that you don't get compensated. Hainu ka she'ena dover boru. That's when it's not clear, she'yobu the day hefsud, that you're going to lose money. You're going shari rochuk. The lion is far away. Ve'ena yodeim yovu kan ha'ari. And you don't know if the lion will actually ever come here. In love, ve'ena matzilu, and all you do is you save him, ela medaiga umin hapachad. All you do, you save him from worry and being scared. Shadok shem yovel, maybe he'll come. Abu imadova boru shayovel they have said. But if it's very clear that for sure he would lose without you getting involved, but the day Jesus Ari, you will be attacked by the lion, Umatsun Piari, who is already in the mouth of the lion, and you save him. Oz Vadai Notuscha, for sure, then you get compensated. So, what do we see from this Tosis? Very clear definition of the reason behind this halacha. That reason behind this halacha is that if I pay somebody's debt, I can't get compensated, is because I am definitely saving him for money which is in his pocket from being spent. If without me, he would have had to take money out of his pockets. I came along and stopped him taking money out of his pockets. But if I definitely am not stopping him taking money out of his pockets, maybe he would never have had to take money out of his pockets, then I have saved the money in his pockets, and then he can't claim for me anything. So therefore, it's not dependent on whether it's legal or not legal. It's at the end of the day, it's dependent on whether I definitely saved his pocket from taking money out of his pocket. If I definitely saved him his pocket from producing money, then he has to compensate me. But if I didn't save his pocket from, well, maybe I didn't, maybe I did, maybe I didn't. If it's a doubt, then he can claim to me that I don't have to compensate you because maybe I would never have to take money out of my pocket. So it's not dependent on mechila, it's not dependent on legal, it's all dependent on you for sure saving him losing money from his pocket.
How are you translating have to? Mm-hmm. You mean obligated or they're going to physically enforce it?
Physically enforce it.
Why?
Because the pshat is saving him from worry, averas or daigas. That's all, not money. Only you can be compensated if I'm actually saving money from him. Averas is like worry, you know.
So if I build a fence around somebody's property for security purposes, did you ask me to do it?
Yes. Yes. Only if it doesn't improve the value of the property. But if it improves the value of the property, so generally it improves the value, then you'll be able to claim. But here we're talking about you don't improve anything that he has. All you do is prevent him losing maybe something. If it's prevent him losing maybe something, then you've got no claim, monetary, to get back. But maybe not.
The fence does not improve the value of the property, and I'm not entitled to
it. No.
I see Nesek coming.
Yes.
What is the key to prevent the Nesek?
Then the hard service of it. The din of our Shavuot Saveda, which we'll learn in a whole separate shirim, but we'll just mention it now, is that you mechuyev to be meishev aveda. If somebody is having a loss, you're supposed to matriach yourself to save him getting that loss. So under the halachas of our Shavuot Saveda, there's no chiyev to spend your own money to save him from a loss, as the classic Hashavas Aveda. But if you do, then you are entitled to get compensation for that. So we'll discuss that in a second, why that's different over here. So we have to now define whether you definitely saved his pocket from losing, or maybe yes, maybe not. If you have a traffic cop in the vicinity, prowling around, are you definitely saving him from spending money, or you're not definitely saving him from spending money? That's what logic would dictate, yes?
The question is, are you permitted to force him?
He's a gunner. He's a gunner. He's over Gezel. No, look. I'm not supposed to. If I see a gunner come take somebody possessions, my chiyuv is definitely not to compensate those possessions. My chiyuv is to prevent the gunner from doing it. Yes, so therefore, to put money into the mitzvah is no chiyuv. Hashavas Aveda to the area doesn't apply. Hashavas Aveda to prevent somebody from losing something, not to, oh, he's lost something, I have to compensate him for his loss. Is that the concept of Hashavas Aveda? Now, we'll talk about the Sira and the whole different shit. There's lots of interesting halakhas over there. Now, for everyone's knowledge, how traffic wardens work in this country. They work like this concept. They are given a quota, like in Mitzrayim, every day, how much they have, how many tickets they have to provide.
It's the same thing in the States.
If they produce underneath that quota, then they get fined or warned, and after doing it too often, then they lose the job. If they produce too much tickets, then their quota will go up. Meaning that this is what we expect of you. So therefore, how do traffic cops look at the situation? They say, I need to get 15 people today, but I mustn't get 16. So therefore, even if the car that he comes up to is number 15, he gives him a ticket, and the next car also hasn't paid, he will not give him a ticket.
Really?
Because he'll lose. It's not worth his while, because then his quota will go up the next day. Well, over time it will go. So therefore, what?
Pay to park on the corner.
Yeah, he got it.
Pay to park on the corner.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Depends what the direction the
car is going. So if you really want... if we really want to investigate the matter, we have to find out who the traffic cop is and how many he's done at that day.
And which direction he was walking in.
I don't think this is how it works in other countries, but so that's how the concept is.
It's rumored that it works that way in America, and the authorities keep denying it.
Oh, this is known over here. This is known. That's how it works. Okay. So now, we're saying whatever he can get compensated for how much the 3 shekels which he saved, which he owed, that depends whether he saved him for a Vadai loss or he didn't save him from this Vadai loss. Okay. What about the 250 shekels which he saved him from? Up to now, he owed 3 shekels. He put money in and he paid. I paid this guy's 3 shekel debt. I can get it back if I saved him for sure from this 3 shekel debt. What about the 250 shekels? And the fine that was provided under this concept of paying somebody's debts. Did he owe 250 shekels?
No.
Didn't owe 250 shekels. So I didn't save them for 250 shekels. I saved them for 3 shekels. Yeah? So, on the concept of 250 shekels, is there any claim? Okay.
He was out of time.
What if I get injured? What if I get injured in the process of helping you?
Yeah, well, that's injured.
No, if I get injured, yes.
Why should I pay for moving the cards? I mean,
if you're my worker, hired worker, again, we'll discuss this. In a few weeks' time, we'll discuss compensation for damage during work provided. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch number 3 says like this: Ba Oved Kochovim Bakifim Ayisrael. A goy came illegally with force on Yisrael, against Yisrael, Veloka Sod, and he took away his property. Umacha Yisrael Onosna, and the goy sold the property on or gave it to another Yisrael. Sarach Lachzeret Abalim, that Yisrael who bought it has to return the field to the rightful owner. I feel Shah Sabyozakam Shonim, even if he's had it for many years. But he doesn't have to give it back for free. Why? You have to work out how much the original owner would be prepared to pay the goy to get back his fields. And that amount of money you would give to Yisrael. So why? What's this concept suddenly over here? Because our Shabbos Aveda, like you were just speaking before that. That I came along at the end of the day and saved him from a loss. And I incurred an expense because of saving you from this loss. So therefore, you need to compensate me. Because of the concept of our Shabbos Aveda. I didn't incur a loss there. Didn't incur any loss. No, no. Here, I spent money to save you, our Shabbos Aveda.
That's not why you spent the money.
We'll discuss whether that makes a difference in a second. But general principle here, you were going to lose 250 shekels, and I saved you from that 250 shekel loss. I didn't owe 250 shekels. But the concept of Shabbos Aveda is not what legally you owe, but what physically you're going to lose. Like with the goy. The goy owned the property legally? No. But the only way to get it away from the gazan would to pay him, then I have to compensate you for paying this goy to get back my fields.
The difference here is this was already lost. In the meter case, it's theoretical. You may lose the money.
No, on the concept, if we're going on, for sure he's going to get a ticket. So therefore, for sure he's going to have to pay 250 shekels. And I come and spend money, or lose money, in saving you for 250 shekels. I've done a mitzvah on Shabbos Aveda, and therefore you have to compensate me.
Yeah.
Our Shabbos Aveda is not only when you're lost. It's something that will eventually lost. For example, if you see that there is a flood going to come into this person's fields, and there's a way of you damming up the water that it prevents the water going into the fields and ruining the fields. The loss isn't yet there, but the potential loss, there's a chiv to do that because of a Shabbos Avodah.
Okay, but not
a potential loss is also a badai potential loss is also under Hashabbos Avodah.
None of this is related to the fact that I got a 250 shekel fine. Even if he didn't get a fine, he would still have the same claim.
But only if I saved you from a loss, yeah?
Yes, but the fact
the
that
the cost of me saving you a loss.
Even if I put money in both our meters,
yes,
I still have the same claim. Even if I didn't get a ticket.
Yes, yes.
So it's unrelated to the fact that he got a ticket.
It's unrelated to the fact that he's got a ticket. There is a relationship. I can't charge you more than I spent.
Why? He doesn't say that in the Shulchan Aruch. It has nothing to do with how much you spent. It has to do with how much you would have been willing to pay the guy.
That's a very good point. Yes. You're right. You don't need to be talking about where he lost money over here. Let's say, you said an example over here, I put money in my meter, I'm fine. I see that you haven't put money in your meter. And I see there's a traffic cop coming about to give you a ticket. And I put money in the meter and save you for the 250 shekels. We'll still have the same din. I will have a claim against you that I done in Shabbos Avodah and you have to compensate. Now, how much?
Right.
How much?
I claimed more than
a whole 250 shekels?
No.
No. How much?
How much would you be willing to pay off the
traffic? Why should it? But then I'm making money. I should pay more than my actual expense.
Yes, because it's the job provided. I'm providing you a service of our Shabbos Avodah, and you're benefiting. And therefore, you're not paying for my expenses. You're benefiting for the benefits. And how much is this benefit worth?
249 cents.
How much you would be prepared to pay somebody to give you this benefit?
How much would you pay a lawyer to fight the ticket?
You would buy they win?
Yeah, but hold on.
249 seconds.
So, does this apply in our case? Now, you said a very important point. And there's a machlokas about this. Number four, between the Nesivos and the Kesef. As you see now. Finastati, says the Nesivos. Nira, it's a Gam Kan. Even in this case, where you save the Goy's field, the Jew's field, from the Goy. Ein Soch Lachzalo Rak Keshaton Natovaso Niskavti Ledira Diorid Lahashviach Lavera. Only in the case where he said, I did it in order to save him. I had positive kavona to save him. Oz vadai chayiv kamo biyorz lesodet lachaveret shalom shus. Then for sure you're chayiv to be compensated because I provided you service. I meant to provide you for service. Avo im kona laatzmo. But if you bought it because you thought you were buying it for yourself, I feel I'm shocking, even though you didn't realize. Shaloyotoshukasula, you didn't realize it was stolen. Ena chayv lachzirulo, then you do not, you're chayv to get back your, you can't, he's not mechuyev to compensate you for giving back the field.
He doesn't have to give back the field, or he doesn't have to get compensated. What Ena chayv will have to do?
Lachzirulo, the money.
Oh, the money.
The money that he spent. So we see from here, according to the Nesivos, even though the Ksos argues, the Nesivos held over here, that if you do our Shabbos Avodah but without kavanah to do our Shabbos Avodah, then it doesn't matter how much you saved him, he's not mechuyev to compensate you for that any amount of money. So halach in this case is the maximum he can claim back is his 3 shekels if he's lucky. I think they wrote in the Pesach over here that this case is one of the reasons why Yerushalayim was destroyed. But halakhically, he's only mechuyev to give that 3 shekels. Okay, let's move on to our next case. After hearing a wonderful shiur on the great mitzvah of making a shidduch for somebody else. Reuven got hard at work and found a shidduch for his friends. At the engagement of his friends, his friends came over to him and paid him shatchonis geld. Is Reuven allowed to keep the shatchonis geld, where his whole intention was just to do the mitzvah of creating shidduchim in this world?
Did he say that?
He didn't say that was intention.
Why shouldn't he be allowed to keep it?
Will he be allowed to keep it?
You
have to tell me, what is the concept?
I'm only giving it to him because I think
I didn't ask, you gave it to me again.
No, but I think because what typically happens is that a shadchan gets paid.
Okay.
So therefore now I owe him a debt because he did it. But if I didn't owe him the debt, so maybe he should return it to me.
Well, whether or not I did it for the Shem Shemaim or not doesn't affect whether
it's not a gift.
Whether or not I did the Shem Shemaim doesn't affect whether you owe me a debt.
If you think you owe me a debt, and you give me $1,000.
Yes.
And you realize, wait a minute, I didn't owe you the debt.
Why don't you owe me the debt?
No. You thought you owed me a debt, and you don't owe me the debt. You're going to come back to me and say, no, I'm keeping it. You're going to say, fine, it's a gift?
No, but why did you think you owe a debt to begin with, and now all of a sudden you don't?
Who cares?
What makes it a debt? There's never a debt
You're both right. We'll see. We'll discuss that at the end. We'll discuss whether that's necessarily true. Now, is he first of all owed the money? That's the discussion. That's your topic. Is he owed the money? Shatchonis, you owe the money. There's certain lots of Sfardim don't pay shatchonis, girls. Not their minhag. But in the Ashkenazic world, there's a minhag of paying shatchonis geld. So there is a concept of a service provided which requires compensation for. Did he do it for money here? No. What is that called? The monetary concept of what is that called? Maybe. Matano or? Mechila. Now, how does Mechila work? When does it work? So says the Shulchan Aruch, Mechila ain't Shricha Kinyan. Don't need to do anything special about Mechila, letting somebody off. Doesn't need to do any action. So what do you need to do? Is thinking good enough? Or do you have to actually speak in order to make Mechila work? So the Ksos says like this, B'nai Pela Hadova. In my eyes, it's a Pela. Doesn't make sense. Z'lo Matzina B'shum Mokum Da Machshova Moim. We never find it any concept in the Torah, in monetary issues, that Machshova, thinking alone, works and achieves anything. I feel hefka v'hetish v'neita b'kula binin dibor. Even when you make something hetish or hefka, you need to speak about it. The only thing you don't need to speak about is kodshe mizbeach, and that's learnt out from a posuk. So says the Ksos, in order for mechila to work, it's not good enough thinking about it. You actually have to speak it out. I am releasing you from responsibility of paying me money. That's what you have to say.
The only
case where you don't have to speak about it is what we call in Chazal, under the muchach mikol otom. That means something which everybody understands from the situation itself speaks for it. There's no money involved over here. That's not the scenario over here. So, in theory, if there's no mechila with the speech, then there's still a debt. if there's still a debt, then I can collect the money. But the Nesiva says a very important chilek, a difference. And this is very important, comes up very often. Omnom nira appears to me, says the Nesivas. The Dafka Mechila Adoba Shekabad Nischaev Lola Mahani. Only Mechila on something that he already owes you. He already owes you $100. Then, in order to let him off, I have to say, I'm letting you off on the $100. Avo Bedari Mi, O Ochomi, Shoma Shuho Bedata Limcholo. But if he says, I am going to provide you a service for free, or he's even thinking about providing a service for free, Vadai Mahani Machshova So. That for sure your Machshova works without speech. Dahavi Kanosana Matana, because that's not Mechila. That's like giving somebody a present. What's the difference between Mechila Matana? Mechila is he owes me money, and then I let him off. To let him off, then I have to speak it out. But giving a present, it means I'm giving you something for free, then I don't even have to think about it, speak it. It's automatic. My machshava is, I'm giving this for free, then he's not even mechuyev to pay the obligation. So therefore, when he provided the service of Shalchonis here, his whole service of Shalchonis was, I'm giving this for free. So even though he did speak it out, there was no obligation to pay for Shalchonis. If so, somebody comes up to you when they're not obligated to pay, and they think they're obligated to pay, and they pay you money, you're not allowed to take it. And if you do take it, without saying anything, then it's called gezel. You're over Issa gezel for taking it. If you intended to give it for free, and he thinks that it's a service, and I have to pay for it, and he gives it straight away to you, and you don't say anything, and you take the money, that money is considered gezel b'yoto, stolen money. So in order to take it, you have to turn around to him and say, you should know what, I really gave this as a favor, and I didn't intend really to charge you for this service, but if you still want to give money, I'll be happy to accept. That's what you would have to do. That is different because I didn't provide anything. I'm selling my cow, Pora Tuma, yeah. I was selling my Pora, and I kept quiet because the middle of davening, you were offering all different prices. So there is no Mechila or Matana because nothing's taken effect at the moment.
But in his mind,
okay, that's Chasidus. That's the Gemara says, Divrei Chasidus. Shat in case I gave you a service already, you've already received it with intention that it should be just a present. Like I've given you a present today, and tomorrow you could turn around and say, oh, I'm going to pay for it. So what do you mean? I gave you, it's already a present. There's no obligation to pay. You've already taken something without an obligation. Now, let's see the next case, which is the main case. Nedzeh in the mind doesn't work. You have to speak out, Nedzorah. Stalker is a bit different. Nidre stalker. It's different. Now, there was this agent who was gathering clients together. He advertised that there's a new project here about to be bought, about to be offered to the, presented to the public.
A real estate agent.
Real estate agent. And I'm gathering a group together, 20 people. And I'm not charging any tivuch. no agent fees. Why? What's the reasoning behind it? Normally, an agent doesn't do things for free. The reason why I'm doing it is because I hope to make a deal with the builder that I get him 20 clients and he'll give me an apartment for free. What happened? He gathered the people together. When it came down to negotiating with the builder, it didn't go. It didn't work. And the whole project, or the concept of the agent, fell apart. The group fell apart. One of those group people, members of the group, decided to do a deal quietly on the side with the builder, private deal. And they came to agreement. The agent then came round and said, how did you know about the project? Only because of me. So I put you and the builder together. Therefore, since you've consecrated the deal, you owe me money for agent fees. He turned around, he said, clearly, when you provided the builder to me, you said you were not charging agent fees. So how can you now turn around and say to me that the service that you provided is no longer for free? You already provided the service for free, like the case of the Shatran. It's too late, you provided the service for free, and you can't charge. No, there, the agent didn't say I was doing it for free. There, that case of the agent you're thinking of. July said, I'm not going to pay agent fees, and he just kept quiet. Here, the agent said, I'm providing the service for free.
Could the group of 20 have proceeded without him after he backed out by themselves, theoretically?
They could have proceeded, not as a group.
You know, no, as a group, could they have?
Maybe.
Or was there some legal thing that only he would be able to finish the transaction?
The concept of him working together with all of them together, then there was a legal thing. There was like, we as a group of 20 are going to, try and get a deal as a group of 20. Now they can't work without me, yes. As a group of 20.
Did he tell them that he was hoping for a deal with the Kaplan?
Yes.
What did you say? It's a conditional machila then?
Here he's saying, I'm giving it for free.
A condition.
But
it's not
expecting.
A deal, it's an agreement.
No, mochlan is fees.
Huh?
Mochlan is fees.
It's beyond the chila.
He made a condition with them. He said, I'm giving it for free. Why am I giving it for free? Because I hope to get from the builder a apartment for myself.
So that's simply saying, I'm charging you, but if I get this result, I won't charge you.
No, it's saying I'm willing to take the business risk that I might not get the result.
He didn't say that. He said, I'm doing it for free because I'm hoping to get, which...
Hoping. Hoping is a relative, it's a non-definite term. But obviously there's something here that we're not missing, or he wouldn't bring this case.
So, she was made by the agent, but he said the job I was doing for free. That's when he provided the shidduch. That's the shidduch. The original is the only thing he did. He only did that originally. He didn't do anything more. So, is it comparable to what number 7, the Ma'ariv ben Lev, said? Is it comparable to this case? You listen carefully and tell me if it's comparable.
Who is Ma'ariv ben Lev?
Ma'ariv ben Lev is a very early Achron. He may be even Rishon. Me, I think he's an Achron, very early Achron. Mi shahoya shaleach schoros liyad bano. Yeah, he's an Achron, he's Achron. Somebody who sends schora, goods, to his son to do business. V'torach b'hem, and he does business. Ma'olon lo shama ovizcha, he never asked money for him. He never asked money. V'lo iskid b'dehem, didn't make any agreements. K'shemesa av, the father died. Nishan Nochosim Biyada Ben, the son now has the remaining of those Nochosim. But Av Chayv Mom Lachem, and the father himself owes money to other people. Ha'im yochu ha-ben la-hach-sik b'nich-seyem le-tavei-sch-ha-tich-ha. Can then now the son turn around and say, look, I never got paid for any of my job work which I provided over the years for my father, and therefore I want to now get paid for those work which I provided, even though there was no agreement done.
What is that word, paturish?
Hmm?
Kederach paturish?
Kederach, that's a project manager.
Oh.
So over here, so says the Mari Ben Leif, he says, that for sure, Kiven Shahir lo haba bonim lezat ish Reuven, since there's many children that this person had, but umda the mukhik, it's very clear, shelo yisasik zah ben benisse oviv, he wouldn't work in his father's possessions for free, votza haba's mum b'scheres benisse oviv k'day l'asher oviv, just to benefit his father, and those brothers who left afterwards. Therefore, it's clear that he intended that he should be compensated, and therefore he's entitled to get money. So see for Marie Benle, that even although there's no contract done, and it seems to be that he's doing it for free, but if we've got clear riots that he didn't intend to do it for free, then he can charge for his money. So is it the same as our case over here?
In this case, he did intend to get paid. The payment was going to be coming from the builder in terms of the department. It didn't work out. Okay, he's a business. He took a chance and it failed.
So what's the reason here it's different? Because he said clearly, I'm doing it for free. So the Chasam Sofer, which you haven't got in this place, says like this. He had a case like this, and this will finish. Reuven came up to Leah and he said, look, I want to make a deal with you. Live with me, don't get married, and we'll get married next year. So Leah said, Beseda, next year, no marriage. I didn't want to get married. So Leah took Reuven to Beis. He promised. promised to get married. Says the Chasam Sofer, there's no such. Promise, you can't force somebody to get married. If you do a service to somebody on condition you get married, it works. It doesn't work. So the Chasam Sofer says like this. Okay, you can't mechayev him to get married. But now that he's not getting married and she was expecting to get married, she provided the service for him for that year, so he has to pay for that service. So we see from the Chasam Sofer that even although I'm doing this for free because I expect to have another benefit, at the end of the day I don't get that benefit because you don't have to give me that benefit, but you still now have to pay for the service I provided to you. So therefore the halacha over here that I'm providing this service of putting you two together because when I put you two together I will get this or get a benefit out of it. Okay, I'll get a benefit out of it. But I don't, if you don't want to be put together, then I don't intend to do it for free. What's the concept of the Chasam Sofer? The Chasam Sofer says that I'm only agreeing to do this without payment because I expect to get payments elsewhere. If that payment doesn't come about, then, of course, I didn't intend to do it for nothing.
There's a difference between I expect and I hope. I expect means she had no reason to doubt otherwise. I hope, any hope is any business risk, any business deal has a risk.
No, let's start speaking. I'm providing you a service which I'm entitled really for money, yes?
Not once you tell me you're not.
I can let you off. But it's a conditional let-off because I expect to get a benefit.
You didn't say that.
No, but it's umdata mukhach b'leif kolota. Here we have it. No one provides a service for free.
It's not true.
Unless
it's
we've got
true.
No other reason.
It's not true. People will provide a service for a chance of making money. They won't have to definitely make the money. People all talk about your service, a chance I think I'll make money.
The person is signing up,
yes.
Of those 20 people signing up,
yes.
sign up at a price that they knew they wouldn't have to include agents commission. They might have to agree to the price.
Fine. So that doesn't matter. That we were discussing a few years ago, that even though you said I'm definitely not paying agent fees and you sell the property, and with that in mind you sold the property, you still have to pay agent's fees. If the only way you don't pay agent fees, if he lets you off clearly. If we've got any reason to say that the mechila wasn't done, belev sholem, clear cut, then he's entitled to his agent fees.
Is this case finished already?
Yes, this case is finished.
I vehemently disagree with your umdana. I think it's not true that people will enter into a transaction recognizing there's a chance they'll come out with a lawsuit.
No, let's find it better. He's willing to enter into a transaction of saying, look, I'm doing this 20 jobs together because I hope to get a big reward. Okay, I may not get big rewards, I may at the end of the day get a little reward. I hope to get a whole zero. Maybe negotiations will go down to only 20% of a deal. Or, right, some sukkos. But to go off without any sukkos, there's under the mukkos in Lebanon.
You would even incur a loss. You see real estate agents do that all the time. They spend wads of money trying to put a deal together, and they wind up with not nothing, but behind
the ball. No, that's different. The deal, the shatkonus is only providing a connection between the two. You're not entitled to get any money, even if you tried your hardest and spent tons of time, but at the end of the day, there's no connection.
I understand. I'm addressing the umdana, though. He would be willing to take the risk of getting nothing because they take the risk of even losing. I'm just using a raya.
Everyone's released.
All right.